This morning I'm preaching from Colossians 3:21, and I'm preaching on fathering children God's way. And I'm also using Ephesians 6:4. Ephesians is a parallel epistle. It's why you find so many passages that look like Paul wrote it in one epistle and wrote it the other. Well, they are all the prison epistles, and they match in so many ways. But there's some details that are in each one that are a little bit different, and it's all God's word, it's all revelation, and it's all for us. And in the context, what he's told us is how wives and husbands are to treat each other. And then that children need to obey their parents. And now Paul's addressing fathers in respect to their children. Paul said, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart." In Ephesians 6:4, it's, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Prepare your heart for this sermon, Fathering Children God's Way. Let's pray. Lord, I'm asking that you direct me to teach and preach accurately, and that what I preach and teach would come into us, and that we would take it in, we would assimilate it, we would make it part of us, and that we would use it for your glory, that we would live what we learn, not just be collecting teaching or hearing sermons, but we would live what we learn, and that I would preach your word rightly handled to bring this about by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's very telling that Paul did not address mothers in these instructions about how to treat children. Now, some think Paul is referring to both parents because the Greek word for father here was sometimes used as a kind of figure of speech for both. It's why Hebrews 11:23 has Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. Well, parents there is translated from the same Greek word for father, for father. But the context of Colossians and Ephesians actually seal it for us. With both in the sentence before the statement about raising children, the common but different Greek word is used for parents when telling children to obey parents. But then next, here, it's a different word for fathers on how to treat children. And then also in Ephesians, Paul told children to honor both their father and their mother, using the same word for father and a different one for mother. So Paul's talking to fathers here. But it's interesting that Paul singles out fathers, directing them to not exasperate their children, not to provoke them to anger so that they will not lose heart. And it speaks to dads specifically on raising sons and daughters in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So why focus on fathers? Well, in Colossian culture, fathers were typically the ones who put forth what was the law of the household to the children. But also, fathers being rougher when it comes to disciplining and directing their children is a universal and a very common tendency. Generally, mothers, not always, but typically, are more sensitive. Now, exceptionally harsh fatherhood was a problem in the Roman world. This was the place, this was the arena, so to speak, the atmosphere that these men, Colossians and Ephesians, these people were saved from. And there was something there called the patria potestas. It existed. And it literally meant this, the power of the father. It's like the law of the household, the power of the father. Fathers had absolute power over the entire family. Legally, a father could sell any member of his family into slavery just because he wanted to. He could make anyone in his family work in the fields in chains if he wanted. And records show this happened. This power was so strong, the father could inflict the death penalty on his own children. And amazingly, he could do so even if there was no wrongdoing. When a child was born, the child would be placed at the father's feet. And if the father lifted up the child, it meant the baby would be kept. If he turned and walked away, it meant the child was to be thrown away. And so the equivalent of late-term abortions in the Roman world was to throw babies on dump piles or put them out on country roads. It was the power of pro-choice, the right to choose. Now, sometimes infants would be left in the forum in Rome where they would be collected by people to be raised as slaves and prostitutes. And listen to this. There's a chilling letter. It's written by a husband to his wife from that century. It demonstrates the stark reality of the practice. It starts out, "Ilarion to Alice, his wife, heartiest greetings. Do not worry if, when all others return, I remain in Alexandria. I beg and beseech you to take care of the little child, and as soon as we receive wages, I will send them to you. If good luck to you, you have a child. If it's a boy, let it live. If it's a girl, throw it away." That's the power of the father. But it's no more chilling than modern trends which herald the so-called power of the mother as having a right to choose to do the same thing. Our sin-permeated world can relate to something that Seneca in Rome, an orator of the exact time, the time that Jesus started his adult earthly ministry, said, when he said this: "We slaughter a fierce ox, we strangle a mad dog, we plunge the knife into the sickliest cattle, children who are born weak and deformed, we drown." The power to abort has always been horrific. But back then, no matter how old the child, fathers tended toward harshness. And the father was not only king of the family, he was also allowed by law to be the most ruthless emperor he ever cared to be. Now, as to any commonality, looking for commonality, it's important to recognize the general tendency of fathers to be somewhat harsh in all cultures. But I want to focus in on a special reason Paul addressed fathers in the church. Special. Christian fathers bear a particular responsibility for the moral and the spiritual life of the family. As a Christian father, you are the head of your family who represents Christ, according to Ephesians 5. And that's your foundation for fathering your children. That's it. You are called to do it God's way. So living the principle, the first part of our direction is clear. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Well, since children were just told they must obey parents, it's easy to understand how the teaching there can be misused by parents. Think about it. An oppressive father or a particularly emotional father in a heated moment could be exasperating his son or daughter, and without this teaching be thinking, well, you know, Scripture says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, because this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So I'm well-pleasing just being a parental authority. I'm just doing my thing. And so through the knowledge of one aspect, this happens a lot, by the way, in so many things with the Bible, just one little aspect of God's word, it gets misconstrued, and then a father could attempt to justify exasperating his children. So the Spirit lays out simple truth to govern the actions of fathers. And like usual, it reflects our calling we have in all areas, men and women. What is it? It's the way of Christ. Treat your children the way Christ treats you. It's the royal law. It's the big commandment. Make them feel safe and secure, that there's no doubt that they know they're loved, that they're experiencing the love of Christ. Manifest the fruits of the Spirit to your children, like Galatians 5:22 directs you, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Think about those things. They're manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit, right? They're manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit for your children. And when you do that, and you can guarantee that you're not exasperating your children, you're building them up. In your responsibility, my responsibility, it's not that you're perfect. I'm not perfect. It's that your children know you are not perfect like they are not perfect, and that ultimately you are working on yourself while working on fathering them by answering to God while learning from Him, seeking to manifest Christ. And when you make mistakes, do you admit it? Talking about to your children. Do you ask for their forgiveness? Are you keeping the spiritual things important like they should be? You must consciously seek to live by the word to manifest the Spirit's fruits, which have to do with a lot more scripture than just Colossians and Ephesians. Seek God's way to be your ways, and in your imperfection, be looking to the perfect standard to adjust yourself to match up with it. So-called parental instincts just don't do it. The revelation of God must dictate how you should act and think, how all of us do. And when it comes to exasperating, as you raise your children, discern irritations in a balanced way. You know, the balance is in the Bible. The Bible is the balancing scale. The Bible says there is irritation that's good. Not all of it results in exasperating and losing heart. Bible says the testing of our faith produces endurance. It says all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It says to count it all joy when you experience persecution. It says this, Peter says this, rejoice in your sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Well, that's what you should want. And God sees it the same way for your children. There will be times that you will irritate your children in ways that have to do with being a good parent. And God's word never comes against that. But here's the thing. God's word wants any irritation that occurs to come from biblically based love of God and manifested love for your children. You know, if a child wants to be ungodly, Or, for example, like once to spend money on something that you don't think it's wise, you don't think it's prudent. When you lay down the rules and you say no out of true concern motivated by real love, then a certain level of irritation is naturally going to come. Sometimes there is pain. And the discomfort from managing, just a necessary thing in life. It's necessary for the growth process of your child. And when it comes from biblically based love of God and manifested love for your child ultimately gains edification, building up in heart rather than losing heart. And as Christian fathers, we really should expect our Heavenly Father to bring irritation to our own flesh, right? In key areas of our lives. And why? For our growth, even pain. It is biblical. And often God will thwart your plans when they're not in accord with His plans. Why was He doing that? Why does He do that? Well, it's for your own good. It's for your growth. And it's for His good. You know, He's not treating you with gracelessness. You know God in heaven's not being malicious toward you. What you know is that it's from His love, right? Well, your own children need to know this about you. That's the lesson. But to get any of this right, you need to be in tune with God, in tune with spiritual things. And one of the biggest things that a Christian father can do to exasperate his children, talking about in the way our passage is warning against, it's really not very deep. It's to simply fail to be serious about spiritual things. That's it. If you want to exasperate your children faster than anything, then put Christ on the shelf in your life instead of showing that your thirsting ambition is to seek His will and His way. I didn't say you have to be perfect or can be. Nobody's perfect but Jesus. But if you claim to be a Christian and yet you act like Christ's kingdom and His way, His church, His truths, His ambitions are secondary, then you're on the path of exasperating your child. It even exasperates other Christians for you to claim the name of Christ branded on your heart and then live your life in selfishness and anger and pride, spiritual ambivalence, and goals that glorify sin. If you don't consistently show interest in the things of God, talking about expressing joy in your living relationship with Christ in salvation, then your children are being taught what? The exact same thing. See, the spotlight is on us fathers. All right? But if you show that you respect God's word, that you're seeking to live by the word, then you're teaching the word as yourself being a living sermon illustration to your children. You're part of it. This should not be overwhelming to do. I mean, your Father in heaven is not trying to exasperate you with this stuff. If you are exasperated by your call to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're not thinking correctly. So what we need to do as fathers is get serious with the truth, with your children, take it one step at a time, call the first step grace, okay? Focus on grace, and then keep walking. Ask yourself, how do I interact with my child? And just think about it. You know, what are your expectations? How do I usually react when my child fails? Just think about it. And then if you do show some sort of a concern, which you should, but when you show concern, do they see lack of grace of Christ? Lack of the grace that He shows for each and every one of us fathers each moment? Or do they see long-suffering, a desire to help toward change for the better as a growth direction? You know, as a representative of Christ in your family, the Father, if you're teaching that the Word of God is essentially meaningless for governing you, then this is what the child learns from you about the Word of God. You know, Spirit-driven precepts for driving your actions is security for your children. It brings life to them. It builds up their faith, keeps them from being confused. One of the biggest problems in our world, in our nation today, is spiritual confusion. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about Christians being spiritually confused. And we have a whole generation coming up with that. But you get on the right path. You live by the word. You're nurturing growth. And what you're doing is called ministry. Yeah, you're a minister in your family. You're called to it. You're actually anointed for it. You are gifted for it. And you exasperate your children when all they see is someone who rarely shows any spiritual substance. You know, it's sad that there are children, and they have fathers who claim to be Christian, and the child's thinking, I'm not really sure my dad is even saved. Just think about that. And yet God has called all Christian fathers to be the spiritual leaders in the household, which means living the scripture is going to be stronger than quoting the same scripture you act like you don't believe applies to your own life. And know this, children's souls, they're just begging to be loved biblically, thirsting for it. They want to see the love all over the place, not just providing a roof over their head and a place at the table, food. Children are looking at the whole package. And when fathers don't show love for their wives, the children know it more than anybody else except the wife. And when fathers don't show love for the church body, don't respect the people of a local church, what do their children see? That. When fathers are not committed to the church, the child sees it. Exasperation comes from the record that children keep. What's the record? Everything they experience. And so if you do things with humble Christ-like self-sacrifice, you're laying yourself aside for your children through laying down your life for Christ, then miracles will happen with your family. When those fruits of the Spirit, remember, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, are filling your branches, what do your kids think? Man, my dad is a loving dad. My dad loves Jesus and he loves me. He's not perfect, right? They know that. My dad doesn't give me everything I want, but I've got a great dad. God has called all of us dads to be great dads. So your children experience real love, real joy fruit from you when they know you know they are awesome gifts to you from God. Do your children know that? No matter how bothersome something they seem to do happens to be in your life, real love pushes through that to emerge as cherishing them as super valuable people. And they know it. And then there's that patience fruit. It's when you try to be long-suffering when they fail, when they irritate you, when they sin, when they require a lot more from you. There's a comma at the end of that. They require a lot more from you, and a lot more from you, and a lot more from you. Long-suffering. Aren't you glad your Father in heaven is patient with you? Patience shows your child you care enough to work through whatever mess they've made of their own selves, of others, and even you. And that kindness fruit, it's mentioned there in Galatians, it's a real big one. Very sweet, very big, juicy, full of nutrients. Don't be that father who thinks this important fruit of the Spirit, kindness, is great for how to act toward the rest of the members of the body and for acquaintances, friends, business people, and all kinds of other people. But when it comes to your own children, you somehow think it's optional. Your kindness to your child will do more to eradicate exasperation than a million attempts to justify being unkind. And that fruit called goodness. Goodness is more than a list of do's and don'ts, rules and rebukes. And every parent has them. We all have them. Goodness, it's living out the goodness of Christ for your child to experience. Getting the goodness, see? And then there's self-control. Wow, what a fruit. It means you must work on not being hyper-reactionary, be flying off the handle all the time is the way they know you to be. Exasperation and losing heart comes very quickly to anyone going through that. There is no law of a right to exasperate in any household. Not in the Christian culture, the culture of Christ, okay? The kingdom of God, our nation, our holy nation. There's no right to exasperate that can be allowed to bring its jurisdiction into, like, rot the fruits of the Spirit. The law of Christ exists, all right? It exists to control me, control you, as how to control yourself. Yes, we live by the Spirit. Christ Jesus is our all in all. He is our hope of glory. So check yourself, living temple. And when you obey the Lord and you obey the love, okay, the love, the commandment, the law, the love it demands always moves to avoid exasperation at the heart level. And for this principle, for it to be obeyed, it really does mean adjusting yourself. It's recognizing the wrong fruits and trying to work out the right ones, work on producing by the Spirit the right ones. But then there's that other one. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Anger is a kind of like exasperation, but it's different. It's different. It's stronger. To work at avoiding this provocation, the same manifestations of the Spirit apply. And one big area on this is the process of discipline. Fathers are ordained by God to discipline their children. But there is a spiral that fathers can get into of provoking their children to anger through discipline. When fathers discipline children and correct them, they can either do so from the ways of the world, or they can do so governed by the Spirit. And if it's according to the flesh, they can do a couple of detrimental things. They either do not care about provoking their children to the point of anger, or they are consciously pushing their children, edging them on because they delight in them getting angry. You know, the love of Christ manifested in the fruits of the Spirit, remember, speaks to you to make sure that this is not an inner motivation. And one way to avoid this is simply by your approach. Be straightforward with interaction, but go at it like a diplomat with authority, with God's authority. You know, to be an ambassador who uses authority and truth in a way which seeks realization and repentance, but not reactionary reluctance of anger concerning your reproach, you have to do certain things. And when you do it this way of a diplomat and an ambassador, that way, if your children get angry and you're being biblical, they've been provoked by their own rejection of how God wants them to be toward you, the authority ordained by God, plus the discipline that they should be receiving. That's what they're being angry toward. And then now they're answering to God specifically. But then there's something else. It's the relational goal. Have relational goals here concerning the emotional and the mental state of being of your children. You want your approach and self-control to be medicine. God has called you to be, think of yourself like the medic, like the triage in your family, the physical, emotional, and spiritual therapist. Paul says, it's so that they will not lose heart. And losing heart is to become emotionally and mentally broken, hopelessly discouraged. We want our children to gain and maintain, be built up, to experience positive growth. It's not trying to build them up by letting bad things just slide or by giving them everything they want. If your child becomes emotionally and mentally broken from something that they've gone through to where they are literally hopelessly discouraged, it's just horrible. Since you don't want to cause them to lose heart even more, you might think that you can fix it by just buying them all the things they want. But here's the thing. You know those things are not what they need. You know some of those things are distractions that can make other areas in their life worse. If you don't, you need to learn the wisdom there quickly. Be very careful with using materialism to fix problems. Now listen, in daunting situations, there's nothing wrong with a gift that helps bring a smile. It helps interaction. It helps. But if you're trying to fix the emotional and mental brokenness, trying to change hopeless discouragement into hope and encouragement with things and not adjusting your way, then you're starting another bad cycle. What your child needs is you. Your child needs for themselves is heart surgery. And they need you ministering to the aspect of their heart that got them to that place. Okay? So the Spirit is always letting me know, Carrie, that He wants me to do more than just put a Band-Aid on a heart. He wants me to give the beautiful fruit of the Spirit experience to them that they need. And what I have to do is listen and do. And beyond that, we must be working on all the other things which help them not lose heart. And it's summed up in your long-term goal, which is, as Paul says in Ephesians 6:4, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It says, bring them up in, then it has the Greek word, paideia. Bring them up in the paideia of the Lord. Now, paideia means to rear a child. And it's in Hebrews 12, for training, for discipling and disciplining the child. Now, Romans use the word for robust training and instruction and learning of the whole child, everything in their life. The Spirit wants you to bring this into your own life and raising your children by being part of the lesson plan yourself. And as spiritual leaders, as the shepherds of our households, is to be pointing everything to God in the Bible. So ask your own self, what am I teaching my child about faith in God? Am I teaching my child to trust in God when everything's falling apart? Or am I teaching them to trust in the world, which, by the way, is falling apart? Am I teaching my child to trust in money? Am I teaching my child to believe the Bible no matter how much it gets attacked? Am I teaching my child the defenses of the attacks? Or am I teaching my child destructive influences which have infected me, which are my own compromised views of God's word? Listen. You need to analyze. Search your heart. Listen to the Spirit. Am I teaching my son or daughter to consider compromising on morals? on scientific theory stuff, embracing it over what the Bible says, which is pure science. Compromise on doctrines. Is that what you're doing? Am I teaching my child that God is sovereign? Am I teaching my children that my wife is God's gift to me with great value? Do the children know it? That you consider your wife to be a very great gift to you? Do my children see that God is more important to me than hobbies or hanging out with my friends? You know, living out God's word for the paideia in the discipline and instruction of the Lord is to show that we work to the best of our abilities, expecting success, but also being real about the reality of failure. And when failures come, and men, and I guess I don't have to tell you, but they will, when they come, that we keep our eyes on the Lord that we should have been looking to and striving for success to begin with. To be successful is to be seeking to glorify God in all we do. And so when you look at these passages, this is what all this teaching the fathers is about. It's the paideia of God, and that's the urging. And in a nutshell, it's this: Father, children, God's way, by showing the love and discipline of the Lord in yourself, out of yourself, you see, by teaching the Bible to your children and living the Bible to your children. Amen?